until church time, we didn't know if we was going to have power or not. And right as I picked up the phone, the Lord said, bam, there it was. The Baptist church, they was all coming out from every building going, we ain't got no power either over here. The whole other side of the street had power, so I don't know what's going on. I want to talk with you this morning. Listen, you know, I want to be able to preach some shouting messages, you know, and I want to be able to come in and share some stuff to get you all fired up. But it seems like the Lord's trying to deal with some stuff, to help us with some stuff, because, you know, we got to deal with some stuff before we can get to that stuff that we're shouting about. Amen? And the first thing is we got to take care of what we got to take care of. God will always do His part. His word is true. And there's things that He's told us that if we'll do it, that He's going to take care of it. And I do want to talk to you this morning a little bit about how to get along with everybody. And, you know, we should be able to get along with everybody all the time. You can say, wait a minute, I know people that nobody gets along with, much less me. Well, I got people that, well, and, you know, have you ever noticed that sometimes that there's people that everybody else in the world might get along with them, but for some reason they've picked you out, or just because of something about you that, you know, they don't really try to get along with you and you can't understand it? Well, you know what? There's even hope for us. And as a matter of fact, God's made the provision for us to even get along with those people. When we take a look at love, the God kind of love, Zoe, is the Greek word for it. There's four words in the word used for love. There's eros love, which is like erotic type, touchy-feely type of love. There's Zoe, agape, which is the God kind of love. I'm God kind of laughing and God kind of loving, so put it all together. But agape love is the God kind of love. There's storge love, which is more of a love that between just people that we all have for one another. And then there's Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is what? Brotherly love, which we know. But agape love is the God kind of love that we're supposed to love one another with. And so we're all supposed to operate in that agape. Listen, when we get to heaven, there's no discussion about whether or not we're acting right and reacting right, because you know what? We know the fullness of that agape love. We're full with that. We have the tools now. You do know that we have the tools right now. God said that He shed abroad His love in our hearts to love people like that with. Right? And sometimes it may not even be the other person. Sometimes it might be us. And we just have the tendency sometimes to look at everybody else rather than look at ourselves. We say, well, no, I've tried everything. Well, sometimes we get a little eager to try everything, and then we mess it up by being too eager. You know, what we do is we pray about it, and we do what we can do, and we let go and let God, just like anything else. We do it in faith. We do it in faith, saying every time we see that person and that feeling comes on us, we go, you know, Lord, I thank You that You've worked all that out. I just want to thank You that that feeling I used to get when I'd see that person, that thing is gone, and I really do love them. I'm going to tell you what, the enemy will quit bringing that up to you every time, because you know what you're doing? Every time the enemy gets it up to get you to try to curse them, what happens is you go and bless them, and then the enemy will quit bringing it up. As long as it's rattling your chain, for lack of a better word, as long as it's rattling your spiritual chain, then the enemy's going to keep coming at you with it. But when you decide that every time he tries to bring cursing, that you're going to give blessing, then things will change. Okay? So, I remember I shared with you before that I read a book one time, and the book was entitled How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I read it because I'm a sales guy, and I want to go out there and kick my competition's behind, to be quite honest, all right? I might even still be in the line of business that I'm in because I'm just a little competitive, and Medicare's made so many changes, and a lot of people are kind of dropping out and all that, and I just got something on the inside of me goes, I ain't going to let them whoop me. I'm not a quitter. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit, and that includes the federal government, as far as I'm concerned. And I know things change and all that kind of stuff, but God, the federal government is not my provision. God is my provision. And so I don't worry about what the federal government does. Whenever they make a change, I take that lemon that they made, and I try to, they gave me, and I try to make lemonade out of it, and I move right along, and I find other lines of business that try to make me be a better company and try to influx any loss that I might get by another area. In other words, some of the changes that they've made have actually made me be a better business person because I ain't going to let them whoop me. I just am not. I'm not going to let the devil whoop me either. I know who I am in God, and I'm not going to let him whoop me. So go and read this book because I want to go whoop my competition. And I'm going to learn how to win friends and influence people. And I'm thinking there's some big secret to it. And pretty much you read the whole book, and it's telling you that if you'll be more likable, you'll win more you'll win more friends and influence people. And I'm thinking, now, Lord, I'm going to read this book, and you're going to go mess me all up like that. Like, you know, I wasn't looking for me to make a change. I was looking how to just put a whooping on them, you know, with some big secret and magic. Well, the secret to winning friends and influencing people is, you know, changing yourself and changing your attitude and changing the way you act. So when I talk about how to get along with people, now listen, there are going to be people who come into our life. And I read a book one time that described them as irregular people. And here's what that means. An irregular person is somebody that you don't have any idea what you did. Or you may not have even done anything, but there's friction there and you know it, but you don't really understand why. Or everybody has a hard time getting along with that person. Well, this book described them as an irregular person. Right? And, but then it went on to describe that the way you deal with irregular people is with love and the love of God, because if we took a look at that we're that irregular person to somebody else, then it's kind of like, since God forgave me, I need to forgive them. And in the same way, if I've got somebody that's an irregular person to me, then I'm an irregular person to somebody else. And then I need to, hey, with the mercy we give out is the mercy we're going to receive. Now, see, we hear bad things happen out there, and when we hear that they go on, we can say, you know, there's not a punishment around that would be too good for them. Yet, when we blow it and do stupid stuff, we want mercy. Yeah. Right? Now, look, there's some evil in the world. Now, God's people aren't evil, and He loves all people, but there are people that have allowed the evil to overcome them and influence them to do just some terrible things. I mean, unspeakable things. People don't just go kill themselves anymore. They go take 4 or 5 out with them when they go. Like, you know, maybe I can get my name mentioned for 15 minutes. Well, what a legacy to leave your children. Woohoo! If they didn't kill them too. I mean, that's evil. I can't remember, it was one of the philosophers that said we can tell a lot about a nation by how they take care of their old and how they take care of their young. Well, we're not the only nation that struggles in that area, but we have some struggles in how we deal with our old and how we deal with our young. Not us, but the world does. Because why? In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart in this. I've overcome the world. People make choices. And you know, if you're influenced by evil, you're going to make evil choices. If you're influenced by God and the Word and what the Word says, you're going to make good choices. There's going to be people in your life that you love them with everything you've got. You've forgiven them. You've released them. But guess what? It is not good for you to hang out with them. Because you know what? You can't make somebody do what you want them to do. You can't make them love you, but you can get it right between you and them, or do everything in your power to get it right between you and them, and then just keep that separation where you're really not in the middle of it. Now listen, when people try to manipulate you because you've made it right, have you ever noticed that there's people who want to be at odds with you all the time? And then you go and you go and step out and you're going to be the peacemaker, right? And you go out there and you step out and you're going to be the peacemaker and you go over there and make peace and they go, yeah, okay, but they're kind of cool about it. When I say cool, I mean cold about it. But then they'll call you up and they go, hey, how you doing? You're thinking, okay, what do they want? I need $50. Well, yeah, you're right. We made it right. And all of that. But I'm not going there with you. You ain't changed a bit. I tell you what. You told me. Hey, listen. That's manipulation. You don't owe those people anything. And say, look, sorry you feel that way. I love you, but no. You know you can say no? Watch this. No. I'm good at it. Now, see, that's why the kids don't call me. Because I have said no. I don't say no all the time, but I have said no before. You know who they call? They call my wife. Because my wife, her head only goes one way. You don't do that right there. And I know it's a mama's heart and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to learn how to say no. Right? We'll be on the same page. I counsel husbands and wives when they get married. I go on the money situation. You ought to come up with a dollar amount, and that if one or the other is going to give or spend money for any reason, without any hesitation, they should be talking to the other person first, so that they're making a concerted front with whoever it is that it is, whether it's a child or a relative or a friend, or even if it's just a purchase. Thus, guys, we can say, well, you know what, you're $400 at the grocery store. $400 at the grocery store. Hey, and then, but you know what? They could say, I think it's Pedro's lovely bride told me, he went down to change the oil, and before he got done, he done spent $150 on that crazy car. Only thing holding it together was the dirt, and he's gonna put another $150 into it. Well, for me, it's golf clubs, or it could be hunting gear, or whatever. You know all those things, right? And it's real easy to get caught up in what our little hobbies are and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? There should be a concerted front with husbands and wives that, you know, over a certain dollar amount, and you establish what that is, that, you know, I don't care if you're there right now and they got the deal going. If you don't do it right now, you're going to miss the deal. Well, maybe it wasn't meant to be. If you've covenanted that if it's going to be over that certain amount, it could have just saved you from wasting a lot of money. Right? But hey, have a concerted front with those people and understand that you're being manipulated. And lots of times the other person in the relationship can see the manipulation more than the other person is, because they're thinking with their heart rather than with their head. And so when they say something and the other one gets mad at them, going, I want to do this, and you're telling me no. Well, that's why we're having that discussion with each other. We've decided. We've covenanted together that after a certain amount, we're going to talk to it. And we ought to listen to the other person, because sometimes we got somebody pulling on the soul, man. The soul ties, we got that connection, and they're trying to pull on it to manipulate. And look, here's the deal. If you're giving to them puts a hardship on you, then you ought not to do it, really. Right? Hey, you're faithful, you're paying your tithe, you're doing all that kind of stuff. Listen, there comes a time where, you cut that off because you're enabling them to continue their lifestyle if you don't cut it off. And we want to help everybody. We want to get them to a certain position. We want to get them happy, healthy, whole, and moving along. But you know what? We can't do it for them forever. There comes a time where, I'm going to tell you what, my dad didn't have no problem with no. Hey, and you didn't ask why. Because I said so. He didn't need no explanation. He didn't need to give you no explanation. No. All right. So you learn not to ask. Right? You go to the next person you can manipulate.
Mama.
Manipulate mama. Believers, we as believers should be growing constantly. And as we're growing, we should be continually moving to a different level of maturity. We all know that age doesn't make you mature. I know a lot of older people do stupid stuff, right? Dougie had somebody calling him this morning, and she always says, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. In other words, we always have to drive almost stinking to Dade City because she can't. But see, I didn't know we were doing all this. Right? So Dougie calls me and says, Butch, this lady, she says she's 83 years old and she can't. I said, well, tell her I got 105-year-olds that can. All right? So tell her that's what we need to do, or we need to call a family member or a neighbor, because we ain't going out there just for that. Well, it's amazing. She did it. She couldn't do it before today, but I told Dougie, I said, tell her that if you can't do these little simple tasks within the home, you probably need to be in assisted living facility because you need help. And it's amazing. She was able to do everything he instructed her to do. Now, she wasn't happy about it. Matter of fact, she goes, she started yelling on the phone, I got it. I won't bother you no more. I hate to be a bother. But you know what? There comes a time where even those people, as much as of a help we want to be, we can't drive out to somebody's place every time and stick a little piece of plastic on a little something like that right there. If she can open a can to eat food, if she can open a box to put it in the microwave, then she can put that on. Right? And it used to be back in the old days, we'd go and spoil them like that. But do you know how much it costs to pay a person to go time and a half to North Lakeland, almost to Dade City, Cypress Lakes, and just put on her tubing because she says she can't do it? That just ain't happening. We don't have the reimbursement for that. And as much as we want to share the love, and even if we're in that area anymore, we ain't going to do it, because all she got to do is put it on there. If you can't do that, if you can't take a piece of tubing and stick it on a little nipple, then you really need to be in a facility. Right? I mean, I'm taking a look at that in every area of my life. And people aren't used to it. They're a little nervous about it. And we want to be compassionate and loving, but you can't let people even use you in that situation, which that's what she was doing. She was trying to manipulate it and say, now, if she was blind, I'd say, well, feel around. No, I wouldn't have. I would not have. But if she had bad eyesight or something like that and couldn't tell the test that we were running through, we'd know that and we'd go out there. I mean, we're compassionate enough for that, right? But, you know, somebody that's perfectly able that just doesn't want to try. Their husband has passed. They're probably not mechanically inclined. They've never had to do anything like that, and they're just nervous about it, you know. Don't want to mess stuff up. Part of the growth process for us as Christians and maturing to do different levels is learning how to forgive and learning how to love. And, you know, I got to tell you, we need to understand that it's a major blessing blocker in our lives when we're holding aught and unforgiveness in our heart against other people. It blocks the blessings of God. So when I look at the Word of God and I look at all the promises in the Word, do you know that there's only two things that I can see that would keep us from receiving those blessings? The first one is this: unforgiveness. The Bible's very plain. And when you stand, the Bible says, before you go and give your offering, before you go and pay that tithe and give that offering, he says, leave your gift at the altar, or in your pocket in this case. Go to that person and make it right, and then give your gift. In other words, what's supposed to be happening with that gift when you give it, what you're supposed to be receiving back, you're not going to receive it back as in the biblical method that you think, because it's stopping you up, that you've got unforgiveness in your heart. You know, have you ever noticed there's people in your life that can just push your buttons, they just know how? But they can't push your button if you don't let them. In other words, if I see my phone ring from somebody I know that's going to push my button, are you kidding? Why do you got caller ID on there? You ain't got to be a rocket scientist for that, dude. Not only the button pushers, but people I don't know. Why do I want to talk to them? 855 number, 877 number, 888 number. And then they ring up, and the title of who it is 1-800 service. Well, who in the world is a 1-800 service? Everybody is trying to collect money, I think, or say something. So I'll answer them. But if I've got somebody that I know that's going to push my buttons, I'll let them call, and I'll let them leave a message. Now, if y'all have to leave me a message, you haven't pushed my buttons, okay? Sometimes I just can't get to the phone. I ain't talking about nobody in here. Y'all ain't my button pushers, but I got them. You got them. You got them that know how to work you. And you know what? They won't leave a message. They'll just call you 427 times and never leave a... I go, well, what are you going to take the time, that pet peeve, you're going to take the time to dial the number and not leave a message? And how about leaving a detailed message? Don't say, could you call me? I probably could have told that by the red mist call, that's what you was wanting. But see, I need a little more information than that. Right? I love texting, because texting... Now, here's what I hate about texting. I can call my kids, and they won't call me back, but they'll text me like, they're right there. You can't say that to me. You have to text it. Just a pet peeve. But forgiveness is something that we all need to walk and operate in. It's important to our flow of blessing into our... We got all this word with all these promises. Listen, if what the word says we're supposed to have isn't happening in our life, there's a reason. Have you ever said, okay, well, the money is tight. Well, have you ever thought, I might need to take an inventory to see what's going on here because I'm doing all the right things yet the flow's not coming as the word promises? Well, look, God cannot lie. His word is true. Listen, anytime something isn't happening like it ought to be happening, we ought to be taking an inventory to figure out why. There's a reason why. There's a disconnect in the faith somewhere, period. There's a disconnect. You say, well, sometimes just things just happen. Yeah, things will happen for a short period of time to give us direction. That's what Joel Osteen was talking about this morning. He said when he went to college, and these people owned their own big studio and all that, and more than anything in his life, he always wanted to work there. He went and talked with the guy that ran the place. The guy goes, look, dude, when you get done, you're here. You're on. You don't worry about it. Well, he gets done. And then he calls the guy up, no answer. Emails the guy, no answer. He calls and he calls. He goes to the office and he goes to the office. He said for 3 months he was working on that guy. And he said, well, call me dense or whatever you want to. He said, but after 3 months I got the hint that this ain't going to happen. And that's when he went to Lakewood, his daddy's church, and started this television ministry. And he wouldn't be in position to be pastoring that church. In other words, he wouldn't be that guy that everybody can talk bad about who don't believe in faith, that everybody can't talk bad about when he's on TV. But in other words, he wouldn't be in that position doing what he's doing had he gone to that other place. He wouldn't have been in the position. So sometimes, It's something that we're wanting really bad, and we can't understand why it's not happening. Well, sometimes God's using that to give us direction. But lots of times, there's a disconnect. I mean, if this thing is ongoing and ongoing and ongoing, and not just one area, but everything has exploded on you, then you might want to take a look. You may have got out from under that umbrella of protection and allowed things to come into your life. And many times you can pinpoint it to unforgiveness and ought. The only other thing, I told you there was two things, is faith. And so we'll say, how you doing? I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm spiritual, right? Healed in Jesus' name. And then somebody else calls up that ain't all churchy. How you doing? I'm sick of the dome. I'm home. The tomorrow right now. Hey, you just canceled out everything. Hey, the fact may be that the enemy's attacked your body, but the truth is that you're healed. Right? And especially to those people that ain't churchy people. You know, the ones that we know, if we talk out of faith, they're going to correct us. Especially those other ones. Because we say, we're sitting there all spiritual and all that kind of stuff. And we're talking about God's doing this and God's doing that. They call us season dog. They're going to call you over and pray for them. Like Paul's ears and eye disease. Well, when you get done puking, can you come over and pray for me, man? I'm feeling bad. Be right over. I'm a faith man. But that's, it may not be that dramatic as I just described it, but that's really what we're doing. I just can describe things dramatically. I'm a preacher. Situations that we grow through will give us opportunities to grow spiritually, but they help us go to another level in our relationship with God. Always forgive those people who come against you. Just let it go. It's easier. Here's how I pray in my prayer time. I say, Lord, as I'm going forth to do what I'm going to do today, I ask you that I can recognize it's an attack right when it's happening. In other words, right when it's happening, instead of getting all uptight about it and all fired up about it, to recognize it for what it is right then. And so I've prayed about it ahead of time. I've sowed the seed ahead of time to be able to identify it before it would happen or occur. That's important. Because, see, sometimes what happens is we get caught up in a situation, and then we have to pull ourselves out of the situation. Like David that time, they were wanting to kill him. And the Bible said, and he was sulking too. They're all crying and whining and all that. He's over there sulking too. And then they decide they're going to raise up and kill him. What's the Bible said he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. So when we pull ourselves out of a situation and go, now, Lord, I know what, I recognize what this is. But wouldn't it be something that right when it was happening, that we're not letting it in because, you know, we've done renewed the mind to it. And the mind goes, you see what this is, don't you? And you can just deal with it just like that right then. Right when it's happening. That's what we want to get, right? That we don't ever even let it in. Say, right now, before, just say, look, right there before you go in, Father, I just want to tell you, I love you, man. I love
you.
When I said right there, right now, Pedro told me, he told me. Let me tell you something. If you refuse to forgive, there are demonic forces that won't go. And think about it. The enemy is winning when we allow that to happen. The enemy, in other words, as long as we're housing all of that, we're the one that's being robbed of the blessing of God. But we don't ever look at that part. We just think about how that person's wrong. You know, the Bible says it's not a battle of flesh and blood. In other words, it's not who, that person that it's coming through. It's an attack from the enemy. It's powers and principalities. And we need to understand that there's people that we love and we care about that they don't live for God. And because they don't live for God, they're opening themselves up to be an instrument of the enemy to come against you. We're the ones that have to keep our right mind. We're the ones that have to stay prayed up and worded up. We're the ones that are responsible for being the peacemaker and recognizing this battle as what it is and don't let it get personal. Right? We're the ones that let it get personal. If we didn't let it get personal, it couldn't interrupt what we're doing. If we could just pull ourselves out and go, okay, this is a spiritual thing. What's the word say? The word says, well, you know what? You ain't having at this. Here's another one. If you have people coming to you to borrow your stuff, now look, I got people borrow my stuff all the time. It's bad enough when my kids borrow my stuff. I mean, Dylan, he's a boy just like I was a boy. My dad had to padlock his toolbox because he'd come home. There wasn't a tool in that box. He'd go, where's my tool? We go, Dad, we ain't seen it, man. We don't know. He finally just got him. He got one of them big old boxes that you put together, and he had a metal shaft come up through there. And he had a lock on that thing so big you couldn't put bolt cutters on them because I tried. He had that drill in there that I'd have needed to put that attachment on inside the box, so I couldn't get into it that way either. Like Dumb and Dumber, I'd be like, but he could come home. He had pictures drawn where his stuff was supposed to be. He'd come in, he'd go, "Where's my hammer?" He just know. Well, you know what? I know that there's going to be some of that. Part of that, I'm reaping because that's what I sowed. But we had little mini bikes, and we had all these little, we had some of them Vespas that we delivered newspapers on. We had Honda 90s that looked like a girl's bicycle, but man, they were great because they had a big flat piece on the back and you could put baskets on it. And, you know, we delivered every newspaper in our town. And there was a morning paper and an afternoon paper, and we delivered like 1,200 every morning. And on Sundays, you delivered more, and the paper was together. It was the Leader and the Herald. The Herald was the morning, the Leader was afternoon. And then on Sunday, it was the Herald Leader. And then we bought all the boxes in town, that, you know, the paper boxes that you put boxes into, so we owned all of those too. I was working like that at 12, 13 years old. Mom was working, you know, third shift job as a nurse and coming home and wrapping papers, and we're out delivering papers and all that kind of stuff. And so I always grew up doing that. I always had money. People wanted to come over and have at my money. But here's the deal. If you got people that want to borrow stuff, here's the thing that needs to, and it's any stuff, here's the thing that needs to go through your mind. If this does not come back to me, and sometimes if this does not come back to me operating correctly, am I going to be upset about it? And if you are, don't let it go. Look, in case you don't know yet, don't borrow nobody's boat. It will break down. It will. It's a big hole in the water that you just throw money at it. And boats will break down. And I'm going to tell you, if you feel obligated to pay for something that you borrowed, do you know how expensive it is to fix a boat? I don't care what it is on the boat. Don't borrow it. And don't ruin it. Because you know who that $1,200 is coming. Oh, you got to put oil in it. Really? You mean you're supposed to mix the gas with oil before you put it in there? I was looking for an oil hole. I couldn't find it. Do you see that two-stroke, two-cycle? If you're going to be upset that you didn't get it back and you didn't get it back, and that's what you need. Hey, you need to have conversations with yourself about that. If somebody's going to borrow something that's going to put you in a bad position if they don't pay you back, then don't do it. Listen, I had a guy come up here. He used to work for me. He already owed me $500. Tell you what a nuthead I am. He already owed me $500 from 3-4 years ago. Right? He comes in there. He goes, man, my wife's going to school.
and I'm working over here. He goes, it's 3 days before Christmas, and I don't even have enough money to buy my wife a gift. And he goes, the owner's out of town, and I can't get my check till he gets back. But if you could just loan me $200 till he gets back, and I'm going to pay you the other $500 too. That's where he got me right there. I think it's done been 5 years on the $500. My Lord, if I can get the $200 and the $500 back. So you know what? I had to pray about that, because really I was upset. And then I'm like, I got to let this go, because if I don't let it go, you know, it's just going to be something between me and God, because I wanted to say I was real spiritual and I wasn't irritated about it, but I was irritated about it. So I texted him up and I go, listen, just want to let you know, seed sown. Consider it seed sown. You don't owe me nothing. I've released you from my judgment. I'm not only forgiving you of your debt, I'm forgiving you. And you know what? Love you. Have a great day. Now, he's irritated at me. Because I did remove him from my Facebook. And I don't really want to have, in other words, I've released that and let it go. But I don't want to go be pretending that this is somebody that, number one, I do that to again, that I'm going to go tell, you know, the personal things of my life to and share. In other words, his covenant never went that far with me. I'm not mad at him. I'm not angry at him. I love him. If he called me and he needed help, I would help him. However, I would tell you this. I don't need to continue to put myself around that of somebody that's just going to use me to get what they want because they haven't loved me. I can let it go. I can let it go and move on with my life, because whatever they do is not really going to affect me one way or the other. Right? I mean, I'm just moving ahead with God to do what God wants me to do. And sometimes you have to get those things out of your life that, you know, that might hold you back or hinder you. And that's a hard decision to make on people, because you have the soul tie. We're friends. You know, I don't want people to think I'm like that, you know? So you get these soul ties and thinking about what other people are going to think and all that kind of stuff. So what do? Just wash it. But you know what? I could have prevented it all by thinking when he first came there, going, now, wait a minute. He's owed me $500 for 5 years. I ain't ever going to see that money. So just say no. I'd love to, but no. Then I prevented all this other stuff. And in my spirit, I knew that. But here he is, Christmas time, came by his wife a gift. Man, he was pulling, manipulating the heartstring. And I let him do it. But that taught me a valuable lesson, so I can't be mad about him. You know, plus I've already released it. So I just consider that seed sown, literally. Seed sown, lesson learned, do things different going forward. But the bad part was, I already knew all that. And I did it anyhow. Right? So we also need to get ourselves in a position where we're not making an emotional decision. We're making a spiritual decision. And sometimes emotional and spiritual, they can be connected, but in those situations, it's not. You'd say, I just got up from praying, and the Lord was looking for me to throw $300 at somebody. And I'm glad you came in, because it's you. I bet you was at home with that penny on that scratch. Oh. Through Jesus' blood, God's forgiven our sins. And he said, and just as he forgave us when we didn't deserve it, we're supposed to forgive others when they didn't deserve it. Forgiveness leads to liberty. You know what liberty is, don't you? Freedom. Do you know that when we have unforgiveness, that we ain't free? The the spirit in that person that did what they did to make us have an unforgiving heart. They're still holding the power. That spirit is still holding the power over us and allowing demonic forces to get to us because we allowed it. And you will not be free until you let it go. And have you ever thought about how many years and stuff that people go through sometimes? I know family members that haven't spoken to each other in years. They just haven't. I'll never forgive them the longest day I live. And then they got somebody on the deathbed over there. Everybody's got crazy people in their family, y'all. We got people that's associated with my family. They fist fought at funerals. They had somebody knock on the door, and they opened up the door, and their brother goes, bam, and just punched them in the face right at the door after a funeral. Praise the Lord. We all got people that's unreasonable that we know. Sometimes it's family. See, our entire family thinks we're all crazy. In other words, if they ain't like us, we think the other side of the family is crazy. So we all talk about how crazy the other part of the family is. But they're probably sitting over there going, Butch and Jackie and them, they're crazy. They're crazy, they're loons over there. You know? But we love each other. We do. We've just been able to function through all that, even though we have these ideas of, well, they live kind of weird, and they live kind of weird. But we still love them. You know, just because they're like that doesn't mean that we're going to let a schism get in between us. We've just decided that we're going to accept each other's strangeness. And the only reason we think each other strange is because they don't do it like we do it. Right? And really, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about and thinking about, what does it matter? And if we really sat back and thought about some of these people that we've allowed to get to us, it was really our fault because we let them do it. People can't do it if you don't let them. And we really need to start thinking, can we do this? You know what? You don't have to make a decision right now. You know that? Did you know that you could actually think about it and pray about it and call them back? I need an answer now. Then the answer is no. Hey, I can fix that right now. If you need an answer right now, the answer is no. That's easy. Right? Lack of planning on their part didn't create an emergency on yours. Because you just found out about it right now, right? Right? And think how many times we've had the opportunity to do that. But instead of saying, you know what, I need time to think about that or pray about that, or I need time to talk to my wife about that before, because we've decided over a certain amount that we're going to pray about that together. And then you can go back and they can be mad at your wife, because you can go, no, my wife said no, don't do that. Don't do that. Just kidding, y'all. But forgiveness leads to sometimes when you're talking about these subjects, you want to be a little light because they're pretty serious. But if you'll forgive, not only will we be free, but we'll have joy and we'll have peace. Because we were just for real with people the first time. Don't let people push you into making a decision right now. Why do you think when people call you and try to sell you something, they try to get you into the store? Why do you think when you drove that car up to the car dealership, 27 people hit you at the door? Can I help you? I can say, I ain't buying nothing today, dude, but I'm looking. And they're coming back and they go, I tell you what, I go, what part of me ain't buying nothing today didn't you get? See, I can do it with car people. But the other people I struggle with. But they'll find me out. I go, look, if you ask me one more time, I'm going somewhere else. I'm looking today. I ain't buying today. Straight up. Once they figure that out, they'll just leave. They won't follow you around no more. If they're following you around, they ain't got the hit yet. I can promise you. They're going to keep on asking. That's how they get paid. Got to do it today. Need to write the check today. Right now, let me get... What's your name? Anytime you got a sale like that and you feel that going on inside... No. And guess what? If we went ahead and did it, whose fault's that? See, the other day I went to Sam's, and when I went in there, them DirecTV people leave me alone because I got 9 TVs, which means I have to have 9 boxes, and it don't make sense. I go, look, I got 9 boxes. Every time they go, look, they already tried. I got 9 boxes. Y'all can't help me. But then I get this sharp girl in there the other day. She goes, well, let me just do one. I can get you, because what I really want is the Sunday NFL ticket. You can't get that on Bright House. Got to have DirecTV. I need my NFL Sunday ticket. And she's going, let me just do one. Let me just do one high-def box. Before I know it, I'm on the phone with the people going, yes, sir, I want that order on one TV. Are you kidding me? Kim's calling me going, well, Casey's at the Regency getting IVs. I can walk him over and get Caden. And this girl's got me on the phone with DirecTV going, yeah, 1995, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then I got home, and I started thinking about that, and I go, what am I doing? Now, what I did do is I called Bright House. I go, just got to thinking about this. I just bought DirecTV on one TV because there's stuff that I want that y'all won't have or you won't give me. And the guy goes, well, did you know that if you have a PlayStation, you can pick any provider you want and you can watch NFL ticket through any PlayStation? I go, are you kidding me? He goes, no. And he says, and did you know that I can drop your rate from $152 a month down to $120? I go, praise the Lord, you ain't kidding me. And I called DirecTV up, and I go, I won't be needing that. My wife wasn't there when I made the decision, and she said, absolutely not. I'm just kidding. I did not do that. But the thought crossed my mind. But see, we can let that stuff just pull our joy and pull our peace and all that kind of stuff. You know anything you buy... You got 72 hours in the state of Florida, 72 hours to decide not. So if you went and pulled a goof against your better judgment, I don't care what it is that you signed, whatever it is. Now, if you special order something and they had to order it and have it made for you, you're stuck. Because if you bought it from me, you're going to sign something. This is a special order. Unless there's a manufacturer's defect, you're taking it. Because people think I'm a furniture company. And we ain't. We don't care if we match or not. We gave you the swatch. It's your problem. This is a piece of medical equipment. This gets you up to your feet so you can walk. In my mom's case, it's a recliner that she can do her mouse on that. Her chair broke down. And we had to special order overnight parts because she can't work that mouse on her table like she does on her recliner over there. She ain't spoiled. Holding unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. Let me tell you something. I want you to think about what I've said this morning, and I want you to think about this scripture that I'm reading right here. This isn't something that I've made up. I'm trying to be light about it, but I'm just telling you. And look, I have no idea why I'm talking about this today because I didn't want to talk about this today. I wanted to talk about, the Lord put on my heart a series about one word from God can change your, and I want to do all of those subjects. And man, that's good shouting. You know, all kinds of good stuff in there. With one word from God can change your life. It can change your finances. It can change your health. It can change your whatever. Okay? But Matthew chapter 6, I want you to turn there, and it's important that you get it. Matthew chapter 6, I want you to go to verse 12. 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But listen to this. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you have unforgiveness in your heart, and you thought that you got all this stuff under the blood because you prayed about it and gave it to God, not if you had unforgiveness in your heart. It hadn't been washed yet, because yours can't be forgiven. You're asking God to do something for you that you won't do for somebody else. And that's what God's problem is with it. You remember the guy that says, look, will you relieve my debt? Will you relieve my debt? So the people relieved his debt. But he had people that owed him money. And they go, he says, look, after he's done been forgiven his debt, he goes, if you don't give me my money right now, I'm going to have you thrown in jail. Then the people that forgave his debt go, are you kidding me? I forgave your debt, and yet you're doing that to the people that owe you money? Who do you think you are? Well, Jesus was giving a parable to get people to understand that that's the same thing we're doing. We had ours forgiven, yet we're holding somebody to the fire, so we're asking God to do something for us that we ourselves won't do. And you know what? That's not merciful. And that's not godly. And we can't let stuff like that in. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gave us an outline of a model prayer of how to pray. He said, when you pray, now this is called the Lord's Prayer. But it really should be the disciples' prayer, because the disciples said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? He said, when you pray like this. So he's teaching them how to pray. And he says, you pray like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? In other words, when you come to God, and you come to God in prayer, you always pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and you start off with praise and thanksgiving. That's how you start off with prayer. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I give you honor and glory and praise. In other words, I hallow your name. I praise you. I worship you. I give you. I magnify you. I come to you with a thankful heart today because of who you are. That's how the prayer ought to start. And you know what? If we're thankful that God forgave us, then we ought to be thankful that we also can forgive others because of what he's done for us. Right? Wash it clean. Let it go. Think about the worst thing you ever did, and think that God forgave you. And sometimes you can think about the worst thing you ever did, and it wasn't just God that forgave you. It was other people who forgave you too. And then we've got something going on. And look, sometimes we're holding all against somebody when the Spirit of God was telling us, was checking our spirit not to do it, not to get involved with this thing, and we did it anyhow. Husbands, listen to your wives when it comes to big decisions like that. Wives, listen to your husbands when it comes to some decisions. You know, lots of things that I've done through the years, I've not really asked Kim when it came to business and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things that I didn't know if I felt right about that I'd go to Kim, and she would ask me just the right questions that would kind of prompt the answer. And my wife's not a jealous type person. But I'm going to tell you, there's been a couple times through the years where when I was working with teenagers in particular, my wife would say, you know what, you don't understand girls, and I can tell by the look on that girl's face that you really need to be careful with that one. Because that one was looking for something that she wasn't getting and looking for an area that she wasn't fulfilled, and she was just thinking that my wife, you know, the two or three times that ever happened, my wife was right on. She was right on. And so it's a good thing. Well, first of all, I wasn't going to put myself in that position in the first place, but second of all, I was extra careful with that particular person. I was never going to take one home, just me. Because I knew that just the accusation alone, I wasn't going to be in a room by myself with just them. And you know what? That happens today. I've had people call and say, I need you to come over for some counseling. And then I'd say, well, my wife and I are on the way over. And they go, are you bringing your wife? Yeah. Well, then they don't come over. Well, I think we know what's going on there. Right? So anyhow, I still to this day practice that. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now let me ask you something. If all of heaven is full of nothing but the God kind of love, and the God kind of love, we've been talking about it on Wednesday nights, if the God kind of love radiates and there's so much glory flowing from that place that there's no moon, there's no sun, that it's the glory of God that lights up the entire place, then let me tell you something. Unforgiveness is not an issue in heaven. We need to pray that it's that way down here. We need to pray that we can love down here. And how about using the spirit man and the spirit of our mind that God gave us? And he says, and you have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, we can make right decisions and not get ourselves in a position, you know, that's going to get us in a place where we could hold anger or unforgiveness in our heart in the first place, right? Have you ever had somebody mad because you wouldn't give them what they wanted? Well, you know what? You ain't cut that tree down yet. And man ain't ever in town. Hire somebody to come cut that tree. If we have people like that, we just need to be careful. Be careful. Pray about it. Make good decisions. Give us this day our daily bread. And then it goes on to say, and forgive us as our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Ask God to forgive. Here's where we start. If you have been irritated with somebody, upset with somebody, and you say, well, I don't know who that is. Well, here's how you do. Whenever you're dealing with that person and you feel that thing on the inside, or you see that person and you feel that thing on the inside, you know anybody that you have difficulty with. And allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. So ask God to forgive you first, and then allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you any unconfessed sin in that area. Be willing to agree with God and with what God says about sin and turn away from it. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to go to verse 9. Confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So here's the deal. If we confess our sins, then God will forgive us. And we want forgiveness, right? So if we want forgiveness, we've got to have it in us to forgive others. People say, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. Well, it doesn't matter what they did and say. What'd you do and say? God forgave you. You don't understand. Yeah, I do. I understand that I've blown it, done things I wasn't supposed to do, and God forgave me. And I understand that if I'm no different than that servant that got forgiven and wouldn't forgive the people that owed him, I'm no different, but yet God forgave me. No different. That's why Jesus gave the parable. How often should you forgive? As often as you want to be forgiven. We can prevent a lot of it by not getting ourselves in a position in the first place. And then second of all, however many times we need to forgive. That's how we need to. Hey, when he said 7 times 70, that's 490. But God, he wasn't putting a number on it. What he was saying was, as many times as you need to. That's how many times. Look with me, if you would, to Matthew 18. And I'm getting ready to wind this down. Matthew 18. verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. There's another one that says 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with the servants. And he began a settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Much smaller debt, by the way. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him. Remember, he fell to his knees and begged him, and he was forgiven. Fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Hey, have you ever, I think about this, have y'all ever thought about it, that when you held unforgiveness and things were happening in your life, that really, you felt like this guy where you were kind of tortured till you figured it out? This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. We're supposed to have mercy on others because God's extended His mercy to us. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And I want you to go to verse 8. It says, the Lord, this might be a good one to mark down too. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. So if we take a look at the fruit of the Spirit and how we should be living, I think that you could find this in the fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, kindness. Probably could find it in the fruit. Doesn't say fruits. Why is that? Because fruit, really only one fruit, love. All the rest of it overflows from love. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. In other words, look, here's such a merciful and compassionate God that whatever it is you did, He took all of it. As far as the east is from the west, which there is no connecting, He threw it into the sea of forgiveness, never to be brought against you again. And you know what? He says, if I've done that for you, I expect that you can do that for others. But you know what? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. So if we ask God to give us wisdom, He will. So you know what? When people come to you and they're trying to put pressure on you, no matter what it is, if they're trying to get you to make a commitment, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and God will give you the wisdom. So if they say, look, I need you to make a decision now, and say, I'm not making a decision now. And if they say, okay, well, I need it now, say, well, I'm sorry, I can't make a decision now. I'm going to pray about that. And if they say, just forget it, say, okay. Look, you can't allow people to put their pressure on you. Have you ever noticed that? People put their pressure on you. And have you ever thought about this? Why did they come to you? Because you're the only people they know that will keep on giving it to them. Somebody else. And guess what? If they couldn't find somebody else, then they'd have to accept responsibility and dig their way out. Just like all of us did when we didn't have anybody. Right? Mom and Dad's in Japan. It was kind of hard for them to get it. It ain't like it is today where you can be Skyping and looking at, hey, Mom, how you doing in Japan? And not only that, it was the times of the day. You know, between, we were 13 hours different. It was hard to find a good time to call, you know. But it wasn't like, you know, we're bombing some country, we're on CNN watching the bombs hit. Well, that's a different kind of world than I grew up in before, right? It's kind of funny, I was watching those ball games yesterday. Nobody was watching the game. There was all, every one of them was holding their phones, taking pictures on their phones and texting at the ball game. Don't people just watch the ball game anymore? I went to Israel, came back. My wife goes, you didn't take no pictures? I go, no. You went to Israel and didn't take no pictures? No. Why not? I go, because if I want to go back, I'll go back and see it again. But not these people, man. These people go, look here. They got the phone out now. They be going all over Israel going, psh, psh. Here, hey, do your beard like this right here. Look at that, there's an Israeli fighter plane right outside the window. Psh. Hey, don't do that. When we went to Israel, flying in on El Al Airlines, you hit Israeli airspace, and we had an Israeli fighter pilot on each wing till we landed on the ground. Israel protects their stuff, even the people coming to their area. When you refuse to give somebody, you put that person in bondage and you put you in bondage. And if you choose to keep a record of other people's wrongs, you're going to live with tormenting memories. And demons will oppress you. Listen, unforgiveness will bring sickness to your body. Unforgiveness will have lack of finances in your life. They'll create lack of finances. Unforgiveness will affect your family. Unforgiveness will affect your finances. Refuse to be emotionally ruled by unforgiveness. And pray for your enemies. Pray for them. You know, the enemy will quit bringing it up if you'll pray for them. Say, Lord, I just thank you that you took care of that in Jesus' name. And set your will to forgive anybody and bless those who curse you. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and he will. And it finishes off like this. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You need to praise God and give him the glory that he takes care of it and gives you what you need to do it. That he preserves you from every evil work. He invites you. Do you know that he's invited you to be a participant in the power that he possesses? Now I can get into the Zoe God kind of life. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that you have on the inside of you. And so he offers us the opportunity to be transformed into the very image of Christ. And here's the deal, if we'll understand it, his word will renew our minds so that we can go from glory to glory, and it's him who gives joy to his people. So you need joy in your life? Then take an inventory and say, am I holding on against somebody? If you need peace in your life, then say, listen, if everything's not going like you think it ought to go, if everything's not going for you as it's outlined in the book, What you need to do is you need to make a decision on and think about, why is that? Ask yourself the question. If that's the way it is, and nothing's happening for me as I expect, and nothing's happening for me as the Word says it should happen, then take an inventory and ask God. He's not trying to keep anything from you. He's trying to get something to you. Right? So if you ask him, he will tell you what it is and get it right. I had this happen to me the other day. I was praying. I go, Lord, there's some things that's going on that I don't just understand. Well, there were some situations that I needed to deal with that I had just kind of let go. Not